This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
God declares we are seen, we are loved, and we are forgiven. Today on Better Together, Nicole Binion, Dr. Dee Dee Freeman, Robin Wilkerson, and Amy Dockery are joining me for a powerful conversation on how to believe God's truth and stand firm in our identity in Christ. Come on, let's talk about it.
I lived a life of shame. Growing up, I was very shameful about so many different things. And then when I got married, I was in more shame. Of course, it was not always because I did something growing up, but then I repeated what I always said I would never do, you know, after growing up, getting married, right? So I get married to this awesome guy and I turn into my mom. I did.
Don't we all?
You know, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And so when I think about how I responded and how I acted towards things that my husband would say or do, it put me just like in such a bad place. And here I am, a believer, a Christian. Mm-hmm. And something you were talking about in the show, how, you know, when you were praying for someone and how the enemy would come to you and tell you what qualifies you to even do this. And it's like, I remember times when I would have to pray for someone or talk to someone about marriage or whatever, and how bad I would feel and how the enemy would just still remind me of those times. You remember you act crazy or you said this to Mike or you, you know, you threw this pan across the, you know, the kitchen. No, really, I was crazy, right? And I mean, one of the most powerful scriptures that really ministered to me is the one that they have for this week was Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And when I realized that I am the sum total of my thoughts, that I can only be what I think. I had to begin to really get my mind renewed and to start seeing myself different instead of just trying to say, convince myself that I'm not this, that I'm this. No, it had to be more than that. It had to be more than just a confession. I had to begin to act on what I really believe, if that's what faith truly is, right? Acting on what we believe. And so when I begin to act on what I believe, I begin to do, even the scripture talks about examining yourself and, and really knowing who you are in Christ. I had really taken so much of my identity from my mom and from my environment that I never allowed myself to really become what God had created me to be. And so that's where I had to get. It was like, Dee Dee, if you want to go somewhere different, then you're going to have to think somewhere different because your thoughts are leading you in the wrong place. And when that, I mean, I think that's the most powerful thing. I think if everybody could think about, if I don't like where I am, if I would just change my thoughts, then I can be somewhere different. Because whatever you magnify in your mind, I think you said in one show, if you you make it big, that's where your energy is going to take you, right? Whatever you focus on will expand. And that's what I had to do. I had to start really casting down thoughts, really start seeing myself the way that Christ had created me to be, to like overshadow this guilt or this shame. And it doesn't just go away, right? I mean, it still tries to revisit me now at times because I still sometimes will lose it. And it's like, but that's not who you are. You know, the devil tries to remind you of stuff that you've done in the past because that shame had me in a dark place. No, but I mean, I've thought about so many times about, you know, just checking out Yeah. It's like, you'd be so much better not here. Mm-hmm. Why even put up with stuff? Why deal with this? Mm-hmm. I mean, the devil is so cunning. Yes. He will throw stuff at us and make us feel like we can't compare, or we can't compete,
yeah.
you know, in this world or in this life of Christianity, yes. to make us feel like, you know, we're less than somebody else. And not the beauty in it all is knowing that God has created all of us yes. in the same image yes. of who He is, yes. right?
Yeah.
And so I really had to begin to learn how to take control over my thoughts. And I realized, you know, how now, you know, when you get revelation of knowing that your feet will never go where your thoughts have been gone first, yeah, right? And yeah. so now I just take my mind into a different place. I had to start taking my mind to the place of, you know, peace and prosperity and health and wholeness
yeah.
to start seeing myself different, you know? And one of the things that we were talking about earlier before the show started about examining ourselves. Yeah. And I mean, I would like to really even hear from you guys. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that? Is it okay to examine yourself? Should we? You know, yeah. because I believe if we don't examine yeah. ourselves, we open up the door for the enemy to destroy us because we won't know who we are.
The only way you could think of yourself as a counterfeit is to compare yourself to someone else. And the fact is, you are an original. You are a masterpiece, is what it says in Ephesians 2:10. And comparing or being cuffed to comparing, it's actually destroying your calling. I guess that's the simple way to say that comparing is destroying our calling. And I would encourage you, you are worthy. And you might say, but I don't feel that. And that goes back to what we're talking about today, is that we have to renew our thinking through God's word. It won't happen overnight. It is a process. It is day by day. But there is something that God's already given you, and that is He has implanted in you the ability to grow and to change. So feelings is not the point. The Bible gives us clear promises as to who we are and what He has for us. We renew our mind by focusing, meditating, praying, really ingesting. I know that's the simple way to say it. We ingest God's truth, and it transforms us. Where? In our thinking.
Vulnerability is a good thing, right?
Yes.
And as we walk with the Lord and continue to grow in Him, and as He asks us and calls us into higher heights and greater depths, these things come up, right, that maybe haven't been dealt with, or maybe we dealt with them at a certain level, but now it's like, okay, this is hitting me again. And recently for me, I realized that I was really dealing with a lack of worth. And I was being invited to sit at tables that I didn't feel good enough to sit
mm-hmm,
at.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that just from rejection that I had dealt with in my childhood, you know, just, but God, we're just laying it all out today. This is so good, because I know that women watching, like, we're all dealing with these things.
Yeah.
And so, but because I'm a daughter,
yeah,
I'm worthy. Because He has called me His daughter, because of His blood has made me worthy. And so, you know, I had to tell that those thoughts and that rejection, I had to demolish it.
Yes.
and it's still, it's a process. We yes. work it out, right? It's yes. like even being invited to sit in this circle
mm-hmm.
right here,
mm-hmm.
you know, being really transparent. Yes. It's a truth. It's like, I'm a singer, Lord, I'm a worship leader. Let me just do that. Let me just, you know, mm-hmm. but don't make me open up my mouth to have to speak.
To say something.
To say something. But man, the Lord says you're worthy. The yeah. Lord says you have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You're my daughter. And so I, it's, yeah. Yeah.
It's that idea that if you knew the real me,
yeah,
you would know that I'm a big fraud. See, that's the fear that we're all talking about. We're talking about this idea that
imposter syndrome.
Yes.
I'm a fraud. I'm not.
Yeah.
And I love what you're saying about the idea that even sitting here, because every day you can look in the mirror and you can choose.
Yeah.
The truth,
yeah,
which we know is God's word. And this week we're talking about that we renew our mind,
yeah,
not by some idea of somebody who's talking. It's, yeah, it's God's word. It's, yeah, what's true. And if you knew the real me, which then we disqualify ourselves. And what she was saying is so, it's my truth,
yeah,
is that I can't do this. I don't deserve this. You know, when you talk theology, we talk about the idea that we see people and we think, oh, she's got it made, or, oh, right, she's yeah, never, mm-hmm, been like me. Yeah. She's never, yeah, done what I've, mm-hmm, done. Yeah. She's never said what, mm-hmm, I've said. She's, mm-hmm, never thought what I've thought. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's good that we talk about our theology. Pastor Amy was talking yesterday, and she was talking, but sharing, teaching. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that we get saved, and that word saved is sozo, mm-hmm, as if it never happened, perfect. Mm-hmm. We get saved. We get set back in place. I love this idea of sin being that it's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
That's, mm-hmm, what sin is.
It's missing the mark.
Not the, mm-hmm, way that God designed it, right, to be. And we get saved. Our spirit, mm-hmm, is instantly saved, mm-hmm, right? We're, yeah, justified, mm-hmm, by faith. Mm-hmm. We're immediately God's girl. But our soul, our body, we have to work on that part, and we have to bring it back and renew our, mm-hmm, mind through, yeah, God's word. Honestly, we could talk about this every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could call you, you could call me, because it is our battle. It, mm-hmm, is where we win, mm-hmm, and where we lose. And I'm looking at you, Miss Dee Dee, and here you are, mother, wife, grandmother, rock star, yes, icon, yeah, doctor. I mean, all the things that you've accomplished, and you sit here, the picture perfect, mm-hmm, achiever. Mm. And I'm listening and I'm thinking, oh, you mean her too?
Right.
You know, she, this,
that's the truth.
This,
yeah,
picture of, yeah, I mean, how can she feel that way? And,
yeah,
It is the lie. It is the war. Mm-hmm. It is the difference. Mm-hmm. And yet here you are, and you're telling us this truth.
Yeah.
Tell me how you go again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How, doctor?
You get up and you do the same thing you did yesterday, as far as the word is concerned. You cast those thoughts down. And you start thinking of where God wants you to go. And that's what happens a lot of times. People don't, again, I say this, I think, in the first show, it's like we have to become one with this word.
Yeah.
Like I am convinced that this word works now. Like I wish I would have grown up, you know, in I feel so emotional.
Because it's true.
You know, I wish I had.
Yeah.
Yes.
The struggles that people are dealing with, and, yeah, the struggle that I had, mm-hmm, like, because I didn't know, I, yeah, didn't understand the word of God. It's like when I got revelation that I could be better. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we talk about this grace is more than just God's unmerited favor. We look at grace, we know it's his ability for us to do, to have, yes, and to be all that he has created us, yeah, to do, have,
yeah,
and to be. And sometimes we look at grace just as, you know, a get out of sin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Free card.
Free card, yeah, or something. But when I realize it's like, God, I can become one with you in this word, mm-hmm, and I can see myself different, and, yeah, that you have equipped me, mm-hmm, to make it better.
Yeah.
You know, we pray and we ask God, change our lives, fix our lives, do this for us. But yet God has already done it. Now we have the role in righteousness that we have to play.
Yeah.
So now I have a responsibility that I have to do, right?
Renewing my mind has had an impact on how I obey God, because in that season where I recognize this weed over and over with being female is a problem in ministry and people aren't going to like this and choose to do something else, recognizing that common theme for that weed over and over and having to work to make sure that I was just hearing what God's opinion was really came to fruition when, through a tragedy at our church, our pastor died of COVID. And when that happened, I had to step in place in leadership of the church, and I was looking for someone else to take the position. And my gut reaction, you know, instinctually was to come from that pre-renewed mind. And then finally the Holy Spirit just really laid out for me, Amy, this is what I prepared for you, and it's time for you to either obey or go your own way. And when I recognized that it was challenging my old mindset, that there was going to be prejudice, that there was going to be problems, I realized that's really not who I am. I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind, and really who's against me is not the problem. My focus is who is for me. You know, once I said yes to that and I stepped into that role, I have never felt more like the wind was at my back and not in my face. And so I think focusing on what God says and who's for you is evidence in your obedience, whether or not you are able to then follow direction when God speaks to you, or whether you try to find another path or another way around obeying Him, really shows what fruit has been coming forth from the garden of your mind and your heart.
You know, we're always asking God to move in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this, do that, move, you know, take care of this. God moved once, and He moved really big.
Really big.
And that's when Jesus spread His arms open and said,
yes,
it is finished.
Yes. That move took that, took
and
care
that
of it all.
Takes it all.
Yeah.
That takes victimhood.
Yeah.
That takes every excuse away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His shed blood on the cross takes away every excuse that I possibly could have to be a victim, to not have the things from God because something else is holding it up. Or if we could all live in the fact that Jesus says, I have all power. I have defeated it. I have come to seek and to save the lost and to destroy the works of the enemy. It is finished. Now I have all power. And if He has all power, how much does the devil have?
None.
Right. None. And then He says, now you go.
Yeah.
And you do. And if we could just rest in the finished work of the cross.
Yes. Yes.
That's and good. I think our lives are driven by what we think either did happen or didn't happen at the cross. And He says, my mercies are new every morning. We all think, am I running out of grace? You know, I have done this day in and day out. I've screwed up every day. I screw up. I, you know, I let it go. I don't have it all together. Well, His mercy is new every morning. His blood, it's free.
Thank
every
God.
Day.
Yeah.
And if we could just learn to rest in the finished work of the cross, that I am a child of God and I don't have to fight. I can stand and believe. I can put the helmet of salvation to guard my mind, my shield of faith, my breastplate of righteousness, my sword, and my feet shod with peace. To fight, no, to stand. And to fight the good fight of faith, which is to speak of who God is. Who do you say that I am today?
But we don't want that work, even though that's not, I mean, the way you just put it, was
Sounds so beautiful, so easy,
you know, but we don't want that work. You know, we want to lay back, sit back and let somebody else do it. I think, Christians have been promised or have this mindset that this is like some, you know, like perfect utopia. Like you never will have to go through anything, or you'll never deal with anything, or your life is going to be so perfect when you receive Jesus. So, you know, we hang this carrot out in front of them and tell them, jump, jump, jump. I'm telling you, you're going to get it. But we don't want to do anything to to make it manifest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you read all through James, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So you can sit back home like Amy. Amy can sit back home and believe God. I mean, people have done that, right? Believe God. But Amy is taking the next step. Amy believes God. So Amy goes to get the treatments. Mm-hmm. And she still has to add her faith regardless if she right. goes or if she doesn't go.
Right.
Because the chemo or whatever treatment is not mm-hmm. the healer.
Right. No, no.
It's not the healer. No. God is the healer, right?
God's the healer.
So God uses whatever is in the earth
yes.
to get this yes. job done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't want to allow ourselves to get involved in getting the job done.
Yeah.
So we have to do our part. And I think people, if people realize that you have something to do here, mm-hmm. get up, people.
Yes.
Come on, let's make it happen because it is finished. Yeah.
The Bible says that we're not saved by what we do. That's a big relief because I'm far from perfect and I could never do enough. There's not enough. Faith without works is also, though, another problem on the opposite side, and that is to act or believe or talk faith, and yet there's no fruit, there's no evidence in our lives that we're believers. Without self-discipline, without patience, kindness, without the fruit of the Spirit, Paul said that all these things, these other spiritual gifts, none of it matters if I don't have love. Loving people, loving God, that's what we're called to do. Everything else comes in second.
What you're saying about the rest is what we have to do, and you're saying about what we have to do something, because faith without works, what brings those two ideas together, because they could look like opposites,
mm-hmm.
what brings them together is obedience.
Right.
Because yeah. obedience is the work mm-hmm. of faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. not, and that's painful.
Yes,
sometimes.
It is. It is yeah. the hardest thing to do,
mm-hmm.
to just obey.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why when Samuel said obedience is better than sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
the reason it's better for God is because you would sacrifice anything for your own will.
Mm-hmm.
You give up
mm-hmm.
your family. We see people do it all the time.
All the time.
Oh, give yeah. up anything. They would sacrifice anything mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. whatever carrot that is.
Mm-hmm.
But when he says obedience is better than sacrifice, he's basically saying when you obey, the reason it's better is because it is still sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Obedience is still sacrifice,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but it's additional to sacrifice because you are sacrificing your own will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's what makes obedience mm-hmm. so difficult, but such a blessing
mm-hmm.
so that we can rest mm-hmm. and we're not striving, but mm-hmm. the only thing that we are leaning into is obedience mm-hmm. to do the will of God.
That's so yeah. good.
Yeah, so it really is about the story we're telling ourselves. We need to mm-hmm. tell our thoughts, that yeah. movie that's playing in our mind all yeah. the time. Mm-hmm. We need to tell ourselves a God story.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we need to do that through thankfulness. And what is that in my life? I know I can remember times where God worked it out for me when I certainly didn't deserve it. Maybe I just didn't know. However I acted it out, God mm-hmm. still helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the obedience piece is really, it's almost like you're driving a car in the dark. You just are going forward, but you're trusting God. This isn't the way that people say I should do this.
Yeah.
You know, people yeah. say you shouldn't tithe. People say you shouldn't give. People say you shouldn't serve. You know, that's mm-hmm. people are taking advantage. But see, that's that earthly idea.
Right.
And instead, obedience says, no, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell a God story to yeah. myself. I'm going to tell a thankful story to myself. And it's almost like you have to tell the story in this way that no, like Amy's testified this week, she has a cancer diagnosis or we've had these other family problems. Mm-hmm. But the issue is I am healed. I add that dot, 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 that ellipsis, that mm-hmm. dot, yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean that I'm crazy, because some people mm-hmm. look at this word of faith idea, mm-hmm. and they say, "Oh, well, they're just crazy. They're talking crazy. How can you say that?" And we can be as preacher ladies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that person looks in the natural, and I think to myself, "No, in the natural, that's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about being able mm-hmm. to speak with truth, yeah. this God story.
Yeah.
So not yet. It yeah. hasn't happened yet, but it's already happened in the truth.
There was a time in my life that I was so, dissatisfied with what I was hearing. And I finally said, either Jesus has done it or he hasn't. Either there is victory or there's not. Either he's paid it all or I'm gonna have to be paying up for something. And I finally said, you know what? I am not going to take the blood of Jesus Christ in vain. I don't want one drop. I don't want one moment of his suffering, one drop of blood to be in vain for what he did for me. And I don't want you to either. And that is believing well. Either Jesus did or he didn't, and I believe that he did. I believe I can walk in freedom. I believe that I am an overcomer. I believe that I am the healed of the Lord. I believe that he is everything that I need, that in times of crisis, he is my strong tower. He is my provision. He's everything that I need, and either he is or he's not. And I believe he is. And I love the story of David and Goliath, because David didn't kill Goliath because he fought well. He killed Goliath because he believed well.
I do think it's a step too from the salvation faith, the rescue part, to the lordship.
Yes.
Because when it's like, he's Lord, yeah. I'm not. Mm-hmm. He has all these days numbered for me, and there's not one of those days that's going to be stolen. Mm-hmm. Not one. Mm-hmm. I believe mm-hmm. I'm walking mm-hmm. in the obedience Amen. And the will of mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. and I do obey. I hear him, whatever mm-hmm. he says, mm-hmm. but I also just go, you know, I have to trust. Yesterday, I woke up, I was drinking my coffee, looking out the window, and I just, a little bird caught my attention. Cutest little bird. And it was just pulling little things and trying to build this little nest. Mm-hmm. And I was just watching it go back and forth. And I thought, how amazing is that? That we have the opportunity to look at what God does and go, if he does it for this little sparrow, mm-hmm. if he does it for this yeah. little bird mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. doesn't plant or reap, it doesn't even right. have the knowledge or understanding. It finds whatever's laying around and he takes better care of those yes. than some people because mm-hmm. they don't allow him mm-hmm. to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all on you. You think you have to do it.
Yep.
So I try to always live in that sweet spot of whatever today mm-hmm. he's given me, I mm-hmm. only have the grace for mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. And there are some permission boundaries that I have. For instance, like I don't ever say my and the C word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I don't allow anybody to say that about me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say that's a diagnosis that mm-hmm. I received.
Yes. Right.
And mm-hmm. because at first what happens is you think, like when I saw my name on the piece of paper with, and it said stage 4, metastatic breast cancer, mm-hmm. that I really started to cry. And my mom said, why are you crying? I said, 'cause that's the first time I've seen that. Mm. And I know there's not a stage 5. I get it, but it's like, I'm not in denial, but I also don't ever associate that as my identity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think of myself as a cancer patient. Mm-hmm. When yep. I go every 21 days, this is another thing, is I wake up very happy that day. I have mm-hmm. no dread mm-hmm. because I think I'm on mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm going to dress to the nines and I go in there like I don't belong.
Yes. Yes.
I don't wear a sweatsuit so and a bun in mm-hmm. my hair yeah. and no mm-hmm. makeup mm-hmm. and sickly look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually am the opposite. I take work with me. I work on the messages that I'm developing. And I've told the church, most of the messages I preach to you, I they come together in a chemo chair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I don't allow the enemy to steal one moment, because so much of the argument about cancer is like, it's going to cut years off the end of my life. And so they actually sacrifice years right now, days right now, moments right now,
yeah,
to cancer, on the altar of cancer, that you could be living, and instead you're worrying yourself to death.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not a minute. It's not going to take 1 minute from me.
Yeah.
And it's really just, I put a stake in the ground and said, I will not be robbed of this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It. Yeah. I trust God.
Why worry? It adds nothing to you. The Bible says that it adds nothing to you. You cannot add to your life by worrying. But what you can do is subtract from your life by worrying. Why allow the devil to have any moment that belongs to you? He has already thrown things at you, which has caused you to be distracted. So now take that distraction and use it to like push him to the side and say, no, I'm not going to allow you to make me worry about something that I already have victory over.
When I go, this is actually kind of funny, but when I go to check in, I know the nurses, but they shift nurses some. So there's volunteers that check you in. They're older people that volunteer. They don't actually work at the hospital. And so they're all different. So when I go to check in every 21 days, I go to write my name on there and they're like, wait, you know, and stop. What are you doing here? I'm having treatment. I have treatment here. I come every 3 weeks. What kind of treatment? And then I'll say, well, I'm getting immunotherapy, and I kind of go into it and I'm kind of like, what, you know, what's going on? We're just trying to make sure you're in the right place. And then they end up telling me, this waiting room is only for sick people. You're going to have to go down on the first floor every time. These chairs are reserved for sick people. And you know, I'm like, I want to say, have you seen my MRI? How do you know? And they're going based on what they see. And I think, how demoralizing is that to the enemy? That there is nothing about me. There is no residue of the spirit of death at all.
But I think that's probably how you have conquered this whole thing too. You've taken away the spirit of fear. You've dealt with that in a sense of like, my life doesn't belong to the enemy. He cannot take my life. Yeah. And I think a lot of times people meditate and think about death opposed to life.
Yes.
And then you tie, I mean, just hearing it all, it's like you talked about obedience, fear, and your mindset. So it's like, I think all of this goes together with the obedience, the fear, and the mindset. So if I can deal with the fear and obey God, then I can have a free mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I won't have to think about all of the stuff that's going wrong. God, just let me obey.
It's on God. Yeah. It's all on God. It's His responsibility, not mine.
Get the latest Better Together news delivered straight to your inbox. Visit bettertogether.tv to sign up now.
Okay, so hold up. How many women are living in that state that aren't battling cancer, but are battling something else, that are living and that's taking years off of their life because they're worrying about something shouldn't have the power. That's happening to so many people right now. They're paralyzed in their thoughts, in their actions. They're not doing anything. God's created us for a purpose and a destiny and to walk in faith and to move and be obedient and to do His good will. There are things that we are commissioned to do by God to get out there, spread the good news, love people. And people are sitting there
feeling sorry for themselves. My mom is 89 years old, right? And she may be older than that. She's 89. She's 89. But she uses a walker, right, to get around. And I mean, just before I left, she was on the phone complaining and fussing to somebody because, like, my sister don't always like for her to drive. Well, my mom still likes to drive and likes to just go. And what I'm telling them, I want her to die living. I don't want her to die dying.
Come on.
So if she has to get up and drive and go somewhere, go. Even if it's just driving around a corner. But sometimes we feel so bad and sorry for ourselves that we give those days over to the enemy instead of just die living. Yes. If I'm going to die anyway, which I am, you know, let me die living. Let me live my best life. Let me take advantage of every moment that God has given me to maximize whatever it is that I'm supposed to do in the earth at this time.
Yeah. Amy, I loved how you said you don't say my cancer, my, you know, our, so our son who's, who, you know, diagnosed with autism, I have never and will never call him autistic. That's not who he is.
No.
You know, he's diagnosed with autism. We're overcoming autism. That's what we say a lot. We're overcoming autism. My husband last year was diagnosed with diabetes and I'm like, don't say you're a diabetic.
Right.
Like, you know, I was diagnosed with this, you know, I just think it's so powerful and it's,
I put it on paper somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's not here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, it's, I have authority over all of this. Because so many times I think we want to label something because it makes it at quick glance easier to judge or deal with. And I recognized, you know what? There's only one day I'm going to die.
Faith is not being in denial of your problems. We already know it all exists. But what we don't do is take ownership of something that does not belong to me. If God didn't give me cancer, then it doesn't belong to me. If God didn't give me diabetes, it does not belong to me. So why take something that does not belong to you? When you start calling it my cancer, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, then you take ownership of it. And sometimes when you take ownership of it, you begin to nurture, or you begin to embrace, or you begin to become what you embrace. And so why not just confess the word? I am the healed of God. Faith isn't, doesn't mean that I lie and say I don't have it. I just choose not to call it my own.
My doctor, I ran into her a couple weeks ago. She grabbed me. I don't have to see her anymore often because she's works on sick people. And she put me on maintenance and everything. And I ran into her on the elevator and she's about this tall to me. And she just grabbed me and hugged me and just looked at me. And it was just so precious. And I said, what can I do? And it, and she said, please pray for all the people who we don't have a treatment for yet that are going through what you're going through. And I asked her to clarify. And the clarification was the treatment is not working for them.
Whoa.
And so I recognize with, cause she's a doctor who never told me how bad I was. I didn't know until I got a scan back after I had treatment. She goes, you only have 7 tumors in your liver now. I went, oh, I didn't know I had any.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I didn't know how bad it was. She just was never focused on the negative, never told me a time limit.
I like her.
And I love that.
Yeah.
But once I started to go, oh, what she's telling me is, it worked for me, but it isn't just the medicine. It's more than that. And that's why prayer is, she recognizes such a big part of this. And trusting God. And I think like what you're saying, it may not be cancer for other people, but it may be something that is their worst fears consuming them. And they can't even live their lives. They're letting it steal their joy.
Right.
And their happiness and their fulfillment.
I love the part that she dresses.
I know. Yeah.
Of course she does. It's already happened. She dresses healthy. She presents healthy. And you know, sometimes we're always talking about how God looks on the heart, but guess what? That means people look on the outside. And when they're looking at you and they're saying, oh my goodness, you're in the wrong place. And I'm thinking now, like you just said about moms and wives, you were talking earlier, and how important it is to dress the part of what does a mom of successful children look like?
What does faith say?
A wife, what does a happy wife, how does she, and I'm not talking about clothes only, but it's part of it that you get up,
it's
you
mindset.
Get dressed, you put your makeup on, and you're saying, this is what a happy wife looks like.
If so I believe everything is already all right, then I'm going to go through life like it's already all right. My husband was diagnosed with a real traumatic thing like in 2014. And he used to go and get, well, he still does. He's very serious about his pedicures and manicures. Well, the nurse, because he was in an induced coma, the nurse said, oh, wow, I have to really take care of this man because he's very meticulous about his body.
Yeah.
I mean, she told me this. Yeah. And so she made sure that certain things was, you know, were done while he was in that ICU room in the bed. And so, I mean, God will use whatever to minister to somebody else to serve you.
Yes.
It's like, if you don't care.
Right.
Exactly.
No, that's what we talk about that too at the church and in different buildings. You know, I'm like, listen, if there's one piece of paper towel in the bathroom on the floor, then other people think it's not a big deal.
Right.
It doesn't have to make it all the way to the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why excellence is so important when you pick it up, because people go, oh, this is a respected environment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
People care about this place. It may not be new, but they're taking good care of it.
And it elevates them.
It does. It elevates them.
Ministry.
Because it ministers comfort. That's what I think people don't recognize, is excellence ministers comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I mean, I've just looked at the whole package and gone, you know, it's difficult for me to even own up to any limitations I have. And there have been times, a good friend of mine, Holly Wagner, when she was the first phone call I made, the first time I was diagnosed, and she goes, now, Amy, there's a cancer card and you can pull it if you need to, if you need to take a day off, if you need space or whatever. And so I recognized that I could use that. And then at one point I thought, you know what? I can't have it both ways. I can't claim to be healed and then pull a cancer card. So there are times privately with my husband where I'll say, you do remember I'm still getting treatment, right? Like, he actually is the one that always has to tell me, slow down, take care of yourself. But I don't ever want to say I'm limited, because I'm like, I don't want to take that on. I don't want to use the benefits. He said the other day, we could get a handicap parking spot. I'm like, I am not handicapped. Of course I could. I'm not claiming any of that.
Our words are very powerful, and what we say about ourselves, when we say things with our mouth, right? It's like our whole body hears it. Our mind hears it. Our organs hear it. And so I think it's just very important how we, you know, say things. Our son, who I mentioned, you know, in the show, is, you know, he's 13 now, was diagnosed with autism when he was 4. And I've just been, my husband and I, our family, we've been very intentional about the words that we speak over Carson. And, you know, we don't say he is autistic, because that diagnosis doesn't define him. You know, we say he is overcoming autism. And same thing with my husband that I mentioned, you know, he was diagnosed with diabetes. You know, we don't like to use the kind of language in my house of like, I am this, I am, you know, a diabetic, I'm overcoming this. And so some people may think that's kind of petty. I think it's actually really powerful. Even with our son, from the time he was 5 years old, before he goes to bed every night, you know, we pray. And then he has these declarations that he makes. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has a whole list of things that he says. And I always thought it was important for him to say them out of his own mouth once he memorized it, because I'm like, it's powerful when our words speak to our body, our mind. So I don't think it's petty. I think it's actually really important.
The other day I haven't shared this at all. My mom is dealing with some stuff and her little memories going, but she's healthy as a horse. She's 79 years old. And the other day, she doesn't remember her appointments or anything. We're trying to see if we can help in any way. And so if we start talking about her appointment in front of her, she'll go, who are you talking about?
Oh,
you know, we'll
go,
well, we're talking about you. Remember your appointment? You know, so she'll. And the other day, Dad David gave me some papers from the doctor, and he said, here, I want you to have these, you know. So I took them, and my mom goes, what are those? I goes, oh, I said, they're just some papers from the doctor. And she said, well, what do they say? And I said, this says that you're wonderfully and beautifully made.
I
said, you're perfect. And she went, praise the Lord. You know, and it was, I knew I was okay. I knew I was good. And that's what we have to do.
Oh, I love that.
The promises of God never change.
Yeah.
They're yes and amen.
Yes.
He is the same today as he was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you didn't have that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Who do you say I am?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are my healer. You are my great physician. Mm. Okay, today you got that diagnosis. Tell me again. Who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
You are the great physician. Yeah. You are my healer. You're my provider.
Yeah.
You're my joy.
Yes.
You're my peace. You're my strong tower. You're my fortress. You're everything that I need.
Amen.
And that's what we have to remind ourselves of every day. What does this word say? Because this is the truth. And God cannot lie. And he does not lie. And when he says, I formed you. Before you were born, I formed you in the womb. I know who you are. I destined you and I purposed your life for good service, for good, a good life full of everlasting life. And that's what we have to see ourselves as. We have to take this word no matter what our circumstances. So just saying that, how do you feel? I feel better. You know? Okay, so maybe I'm coughing hard. Maybe I've got, I'm going through things, but you know what? That doesn't change God who, and we look at, I think sometimes we're looked down upon if we're suffering with something. But what about the martyrs? What about the disciples of Jesus? They stayed firm in their faith till they were hung upside and burned to death.
That's exactly.
And we call them martyrs. And then someone now dies of certain things or something happens and all of a sudden.
It's judgment.
It's judgment.
Yeah. And that's so inaccurate.
When we die in our faith, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we die, we die.
Yes.
But we will not bow.
Right.
Yep.
And so, standing in faith.
To me, that when people say things like that, I'm like, that sounds like you don't really believe what you're preaching.
Right.
What happens to us after this? Because it's like, you're afraid of it.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not afraid of it.
Right.
And I'm like, that. It's a reward. And in case you haven't noticed, you're not making it out of this alive.
Right. You're on your way.
You are not.
I've heard people say, though, that your faith must have failed. You don't have enough faith because someone didn't live. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wow. I'm not God.
It's appointed.
Yes.
And I just think that you know, I think so many people try to finish the work of the cross. And if we get enough people praying and we get enough people warring and striving, that somehow that's going to move something. It's not. It's resting in the fact of who we believe in. And I can do that all by myself. But I need you. I need you to help. You know, we need each other to hold each other up and to support each other and to remind each other how we are. Sometimes it's just good for someone to tell me how I'm doing today. To have the words of life in your mouth for somebody going, boy, you look great. You look so alive and well and whole.
That's good.
Freedom looks good on you.
Freedom looks good on you.
Freedom looks good on all of us, right? I love this. And we're getting ready to close this segment out. Just thinking about all of what we've been saying and all of the stories that have been shared here today, it really does look good on us to hear this freedom. I mean, people, if they can realize that, that we have been set free. God came to set us all free, and we don't have to be bound by our past, by our thoughts, or by our stories, because we all have a story. And God has given us the ability to conquer and to come out on top of whatever it is that we go through. It doesn't have to overtake us to be of that good cheer, because he has already overcome it. You know, even about the shame, the whole thing that I was talking about from the very beginning, all of us have gone through something that the enemy would try to shame us about, but God has set us free of that shame. And that Proverbs, and I really would love to end with this, that go back to that scripture, Proverbs 23 and 7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't allow those thoughts to come in your heart that you don't want to be, right? Only allow those thoughts that you want to be to penetrate your heart. Mm-hmm. And so today, regardless of what it is that you're going through or what you have experienced, we here at the Better Together set, we are praying for you. We're believing God for you, that you would take a hold of this word, that you will walk in the authority and in the victory in which God has already given you. You already are set free. You don't have to be set free. You are already free in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.